Call to order the ad hoc consultants committee for groundwater management plan update. The notification of meeting, Open Meetings Act, the copy is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning the agenda for tonight's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the director's first year staff proposals, recommendation, then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item, take action. We ask the public not to interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call, please.
Director Bennett.
Present.
Director John Conley.
Here.
Director Teaser.
Here.
Director Fred Conley.
Here.
Chairman Thompson.
Here. I've got here an excuse absence for Patrick Leahy, and Fred Conley will be filling in accordingly. Adoption agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Director John Conley?
Yes.
Director Teaser?
Yes.
Director Fred Conley?
Aye.
Director
Bennett?
Yes.
Chairman
Thompson?
Yes. I have here proof publication that this committee is being held at this point. Item 6, review and recommendation of screening proposals for interviews. Mr. Paul Woodward?
Good evening. Just a quick update here. We did receive two proposals in response to RFP, one from Olson Associates, one from EA Engineering Science and Technology. Both met the requirements of what we were asking for. So our recommendation is that both be moved on to an interview stage. If you have any questions.
I move approval of staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. From the public? Staff, directors, Mr. Jeff.
Paul, you want to go to the mic, please? In the first paragraph, it says, however, during the years since the last groundwater management plan revision, the district has acquired or developed significant data and information about groundwater resources in the district. What data is that?
It would both be, I think as talk a little bit about it later, the different programs are the water quality monitoring program, there'd be several years of data with USGS from that, static water levels that we've taken in wells over the many years since then, the new aerial electromagnetic flights that have been done have shown, given us a better definition of where our different aquifers may or may not be. So I think we have more information to develop a groundwater management plan that we come up with sub areas rather than applying a plan district wide.
All right. Well, since it's in here, in the last we used the word number 19 or 94, and I assume that's to present. So we do have data in 94 and also data today, right? So we can see if there was a change?
Yes, sir.
Oh, can you provide me with all that data?
Mr. Jaff, you're out of order. We don't need that data at this point. That's a horrendous request that staff asked in 1994. If you really would like that, submit a written request. This is an RFP that's designed for firms to please send your qualification. So from the RFP, it's a narrative. We'll be getting a groundwater management plan. Obviously, you'll be getting a copy of that when it's done.
Well, apparently we have data that's on file, or it was mentioned, and I would like to see that data.
Director Jaff, do you have any concept at all as to how staff would have to generate such data since 1994? Do you have a concept of that?
Yeah, it's probably in a report.
I doubt it very seriously. And the reason we're doing this groundwater plan is it's scattered, it's mixed, it's here, it's there. We need one, call it a master report. This consultant, whoever we hire, will produce.
Well,
that's why we're delinquent in doing it, and so
We can generate an estimate of what that would cost to put it together, if you'd like.
No, I don't want to waste any time of staff resources or something that's going to be changed as soon as a consultant finishes it. You waste enough time with staff to dig stuff up, of copies that is going to be meaningless. Maybe you don't understand that. But I'm telling you, as chairman of this ad hoc committee, that's above and beyond the requirements of this ad hoc committee, and any director asking for that data, it's superfluous.
It may be for you, but it isn't for me.
Fred wants to put it on Facebook.
Got a motion on the floor. Any other discussion from directors? With that, roll call on the motion.
Director Fred Conley?
Aye.
Director Teaser?
Yes.
Director Burnett?
Yes.
Director John Conley?
Yes.
Chairman Thompson?
Yes. With that, ad hoc committee is adjourned. Who gets it next?
Fred Conley.
I'd like to call to order the Personnel Legislative and Public Affairs Subcommittee meeting, September 2015. Approximately 6:36. The notification of Local Meetings Act is posted on the law. The same procedure is going to be used for this committee that was used for the ad hoc committee. Item number three, quorum call.
Burnett?
Yes.
Fowler?
Here.
Gabb?
Yes.
John Conley?
Here.
Chairman.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
And motion to
second.
Motion to second. Any questions? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Gabb?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Burnett?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye. Item number six, review and recommendation on resolution to be considered at the 2015 NARD Annual Conference. John Luther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This year, there's only one proposed resolution that met the deadline to be presented to the delegates for approval at the annual conference in September. It was submitted by the Lower Platte North NRD, and simply what it would do is amend current statute to allow a natural resources district to utilize electronic voting device to register the roll call of the board of directors. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to, it's just enabling legislation. So if the NRD chose to install electronic voting system, that you could pursue that option. I believe right now the NRDs are about the only ones that cannot per statute, so this would allow us to do that. I don't know if there will be additional resolutions presented at the meeting, but they will require a two-thirds vote to even be considered. So this was the only one that was presented on time. And we staff recommends to support this.
Do we have a motion?
A motion supports staff recommendation.
Second.
Second. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak to this item? Not seeing anyone on the board wishes to speak to it. Director Gap?
Doesn't the Lower Platte South and Lincoln have electronic voting?
I don't believe anyone's allowed.
No.
Under current state law, you're not. You have to take a roll call vote.
I was thinking they.
They might. They probably will get one. When you have 23 members or more, it would make it a little more efficient.
Any other director?
Yes.
Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Burnett?
Yes.
Aye. And that completes my agenda.
Okay, moving right along, I'm going to call the meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee to order. We have an absence. Director Leahy is absent, and Director Fowler will be filling in that spot. A copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted at the rear of the room, as was outlined earlier, and the meeting procedures will be the same as were outlined earlier. With that, quorum call, please.
Fred Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Yes.
Teaser.
Here.
Here.
And Chairperson.
Here. Adoption agenda, please.
So move.
Second.
Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
Stevens.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
And Chairperson.
Here, yes. I have here an affidavit of proof of publication of this meeting, which will be part of the public record. Now we're moving to item six, an update on IPA assessment increase for the operations and maintenance of Elk Pigeon Creek. Mr. Nelson.
Thank you. Bill, you can go straight to the PowerPoint. Okay, so everyone recalls last summer we had a breach on the Pigeon Creek levee in June. During July, we made emergency repairs. And at the September board meeting up at Dakota City, I just gave a brief update on the IPA, as well as kind of all the repairs that happened over the summer. So as a follow-up to that, over the course of the last year, just been working with FEMA on all of the applications and paperwork in place to get reimbursed for a significant portion of work, as well as meeting with the Elk Pigeon Creek Advisory Board to get direction on what the public opinion is of the county and the landowners that live in that improvement project area. So kind of a brief refresher, history on the Elk Pigeon Creek IPA. In 1998, Drainage District Number 5 approached the NRD to merge with the NRD, assume responsibilities for maintenance and upkeep of the Elk and Pigeon Creek levee systems. Through the formation of IPA, the NRD has been responsible since then for routine maintenance like mowing, spraying of weeds, as well as then just enhancements of those structures. The IPA is set up to be self-sufficient. There's a number of what are called benefit units assigned to each property within the IPA. As of right now, each benefit unit is assessed $5 per benefit unit. So annually, the district receives $45,000 from the special assessments. When we inherited or took over both of those levee systems, they were both in pretty poor shape. Gone through a lot of old documents just indicating numbers of culverts that didn't work and just bad conditions of sloughing in certain areas, as well as debris in the channels. And since then, the NRD has provided cost share on major projects on both of those systems. It's outlined in our agreement that the NRD provides a 50% cost share for those major projects. Here's just a brief map kind of showing the stretches of those two levee systems. So I think it's important to note that since 1998, a tremendous amount of money has been spent on both the Elk and Pigeon Creek levees, and a lot of that's due in large part to federal, state, as well as district general fund assistance. As I mentioned, we only receive around $45,000 a year in special assessments, which equates to roughly $775,000 since 1998. But as this slide shows, over $4.2 million has been spent on projects. Here's a couple of pictures of those projects. A couple of weir structures have been added along Elk Creek. That's to help reduce channel degradation. A tieback levee was installed on Pigeon Creek to keep the adjacent highway from flooding. And in the lower left-hand picture, that's one of the more recent projects. When the Missouri River flooded, it caused significant erosion to the one of the banks of the Elk Creek levee. So in 2013, over $1.2 million was spent repairing that side of the levee. Next up on the list, kind of based on public attitude and comments, the next major project will be the dredging of Pigeon Creek levee. Dredging it out under its current alignment really won't add a lot of capacity to the channel itself, but it will help a number of the culverts along that levee drain water from adjacent farmland. So as I mentioned, sought advice from the advisory board. It's comprised of four individuals living in the area. On June 12th, I had a meeting with them to gauge their interest in raising the special assessment. Like I mentioned, it's been $5 since 1998. Obviously, we've had inflation since then, so $5 doesn't go as long or as far as what it used to. The attitude was kind of mixed. They really didn't have an opinion one way or another and really wanted to kind of gauge the public opinion on it. So as a result, after that meeting, they sent out a letter to people in the IPA who pay that special assessment, just kind of summarizing a lot of the information explained here, all the projects that have gone on, and if they would support an increase in the assessment. So approximately 140 surveys were sent out. Unfortunately, only 18 of them were returned to NRD. Six surveys supported increasing the special assessment rate. 11 indicated a no response, that they did not want to see an increase in the assessment. And in one survey, simply said they didn't have anything to work against it. So it's worth noting that the original agreement that the district signed with Drainage District Number 5 allowed for the special assessment to be increased every 3 years based on a consumer price index. So if that CPIU was used, that assessment rate could be increased from $5 to $8.38 per benefit unit. So once I received all the surveys, I met with the advisory board and reached out to a couple of members following that. The opinion right now is that a lot of landowners up there have experienced significant increases in property taxes as a result of not only agricultural values, but a number of other things. Dakota County's been kind of ravaged with natural disasters, so they're dealing with part of that, as well as a number of other bond issues up there have failed, as well as school projects and what have you. So right now, it appears the public sentiment up there is that they're not in favor of a special assessment increase. So at this time, staff and management were not making a recommendation to increase the special assessment.
Okay. Anyone have a question for Mr. Nelson? Director Jeff?
Since there's only approximately 9,000 acres involved, how come you sent out so many inquiries? Because wouldn't you just send them out to landowners that are involved in the IPA?
Correct, yeah. So I got a list from the assessor's office. They're responsible for the treasurer's office is responsible for sending out essentially the statements to collect that assessment.
Uh-huh.
And so I sent it out to every landowner on record that they collect the assessment.
So if they collect from 140? Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, there's a number, especially in the town of Jackson, there's somewhere you have really small properties up against the levy.
All right. Okay. Let me rephrase the question then. Was this increase going to be used for Pigeon Jones where the levy broke, or was this going to be used for the entire drainage district?
The way it was phrased in the letter that the advisory board as well as the public had kind of indicated the next priority should be to dredge the Pigeon Creek levee channel.
Uh-huh.
And so in recent years, there's been a number of projects on both systems. At first, from 1998 until mid-2000s, a lot of time was spent on Pigeon Creek. Lately, a lot of time has been spent on Elk Creek. Now it's probably time to go back.
I'm going to interrupt this for a minute. I'm going to ask, is there anyone in the public that wishes to speak to this item? There's not an action item on the floor. Management is not making a recommendation to take any action. But if you wish to speak, you're welcome to do so. Seeing none. Okay, let me go ahead and go back to whatever you have.
No comment. I'm done. It doesn't sound like the public wants it, so
yeah.
Why should we?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those unfortunate things. We're getting less accomplished each year, but at the same time, they want to see the benefits of it, but aren't willing to
Zach, how do we keep from running up a huge surplus of our expenses up there with no increase in their contribution? They're already, what, $1.2 million behind?
Yeah, as of right now, the last major project, majority of those funds were from NRCS. So at this time, the IPA is only, it's roughly $55,000 in arrears to the district. So it'll be paid off approximately probably next, this time next year.
So that $1.2 million or whatever we saw on the table you had there was not accurate?
Well, no, that was...
It was cumulative since 90.
Yeah, it's cumulative, yeah, but...
That was cumulative, but there's a provision in the agreement that allows for a 50% cost share on major projects. So that's, right, so 2-3 years ago, the district fronted the money for approximately $200,000 worth of land acquisition costs for the last project. And over the last few years, the IPA has been paying the district back.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on this item? Then let's consider this item done, and we'll move on to item 7 is a review and recommendation on the bid opening for Thurston County Rural Water System. This is a Rosalie Water Main Extension Construction Contract. Zach Molson.
Thank you. So if you recall, about this time last year, I came to the board and write an update that the Village of Rosalie had been awarded USDA funds to connect our Thurston County Rural Water System. Over the last year, we've been working with the city's engineer, the village's engineer, as well as with our engineer, Barlin West, to design that water main extension. We went out to bid and received 4 very competitive bids. Penrow Construction out of Pender is our lowest and most qualified bidder. Their bid of $379,670.55 was under the engineer's estimate. And total, we are significantly under the estimate that was presented to the USDA to get funding for this project. So at this time, we'll be kind of going through, assuming it's approved, going through kind of pre-construction efforts this fall.
Well, Chair, I'd entertain a motion on this item.
Motion to move staff recommendation.
Second.
Does anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, discussion amongst the directors. Hearing none, roll call on the motion.
Season.
Yes.
Conklin.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Now, moving to item 9 is review and recommendation on bid opening for test hole drilling and monitoring well construction. Paul Woodward.
Skip 8.
Oh, I wanted to jump back here. Okay. Oh, let's go back to Laurie last. Review and recommendation on addendum to the City of Omaha interlocal agreement for Papio Watershed Dam Site 15A. Laurie last, please.
So, Marlon is handing out another attachment that I include the original interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha. That might help make a little bit more sense of the addendum. The original agreement was executed in November of 2012, and it provided for provisions to construct a dam, to construct some sanitary sewer facilities for future use, as well as for the City of Omaha to take over the maintenance and operation of the recreational area once the project is complete. When we put this agreement together, we were still in the process of preliminary design. We did not have a really good number to include in the agreement for the cost that the city would pay and the cost that the district would pay. So we came up with this idea of doing a fractional payment based on the engineer's estimate of the project for the sanitary sewer items that the city was asking us to put in the dam. And it turned out that didn't really work out so well. We would have been a little bit short paying for some sewer facilities, which was not something that this board agreed to. So we are amending the agreement that the city paid for the actual cost of the sewer facilities. And in addition, when we first did this agreement, development pressure was still pretty low. new developments to happen where they can get sewer facilities and water facilities to those areas. Was not in this area. Recently, they have opened it up, and people have come running. There are currently two developments proposed next to our dam site. There is one development proposed right here. This is 168th Street, and this is Ida Street. There's one development that is going in right here, and then another one that's down here. And then another development proposed right here on the corner of 168th and 4th Street. When they started looking at the sewer plan that we had incorporated into our preliminary design, the developers did not feel that that was necessary. They worked with the city of Omaha, and the city has now requested that we put in a larger sewer than we had initially planned. Of course, that work will be paid for by the city. And then, you know, looking at these two areas and next to this recreational area, they also kind of want to have the option to add in some additional recreational facilities, which, and we always knew they would do that. We're building the trail, we're doing the picnic shelters, and the boat ramp, but that's about it. We knew that they would be planning other facilities here. And they would like the opportunity to use our contractor to build some of those facilities while they're still out there working as a cost saving. So this agreement, the addendum to the agreement would allow the city to request additional work. It was agreed upon by both us and the city to then do a change order with the cargo rating. Again, completely paid for by the city, any additional work. And then the third item is HWS Cleveland Boulevard. We allowed for it in the preliminary design phase, knowing that it would eventually connect all the way up through. Right now it stops at 4th Street, and it would be our south access road where we would go to get to the boat ramp and one of the picnic shelters and trailhead and everything. We did not plan on building a full urban section boulevard. We had a temporary paved road in there, figuring, you know, maybe 10 years before that road was built, and now it's more like they want to build it next year. So again, they want to request that the district add this into the part of the contract, again, through change order that would have to be brought back to the board for approval and then reimbursed by the city. And so we are recommending that you approve the addendum for the agreement.
Okay. Chair, entertain a motion on this item.
I understand. I recommend the
second. Okay. Anyone in the public who should speak? Directors? I've got a question. Who was HW, whoever, that boulevard's named for?
Oh,
HWS Cleveland was an architect, and he basically invented the modern boulevard system, and he did a lot of work in Omaha. And so that's why if you see HWS Cleveland, you know, it kind of goes. All through West Omaha is a very wide section. It's landscaped. It's meant to be a little more decorative than some roads are.
At one time, every park in Omaha was connected by boulevard.
Yeah.
He also did Minneapolis.
Yeah. He's worked in Minneapolis.
Any other questions or comments so far applicable to this? Hearing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Stevens.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Now, item 9, review and recommendation on bid opening for test hole drilling and monitoring well construction. Now, Paul Wood.
Good evening. Currently, the district has a number of dedicated monitoring wells that monitor different aquifers within our district. We have 8 total sites. 5 of those sites actually are co-located in places where we have wellhead protection areas, so we can hopefully be helping the communities and those our community wells out by see if we detect any sorts of problems, issues, contaminants, prior to them ever reaching the well source for the community. As of a couple years ago, the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality was placing an emphasis on doing this, so they actually were working statewide to work with several NRDs to put in new monitoring wells. Their funding didn't go as far as they hoped. In our district, they go to the map, work with them, which is the second page. One of the eight I just mentioned, and one of those protecting a community down for the is actually in Arlington. So that one was done with NDEQ funding. Got all three wells done. And then the other part of their funding actually went to start this one up here in Jackson by drilling the test hole to determine all the geology and all the information, and then we'll design some monitoring wells based off of that. So in 2013, district staff saw that this wasn't going to quite cut it for what we wanted to do. We had given them 10 different sites to try to do. So an NEQ grant was submitted, and we were awarded an NEQ grant in 2014. Getting that accomplished at the end of that year, so we had to spend the funds by next June. That was in the amount of $82,000. So what we did is we put together, working with ANRA, which is Water Resources Assessment, the groups that's been doing aerial flights, plus the Conservation Survey Division at the university. They're actually going to, as part of that NEQ grant, they're there to provide the geologists who will log all the information. So it's kind of some in-kind work on their part, cost. But anyway, working with them to narrow down six total sites that were kind of our highest priority based on their location with a wellhead protection area. But also there, some of them have pretty good proximity to those cross-section flights that we did. So this will be another way to ground truth what we actually got in that information that we paid for from Nevada. So looking at those, we did a received bid from three bidders. Maybe go to the next sheet that describes the three different bids. We actually, with the funds we had, we wanted to make sure that we used all of the grant, so we weren't quite sure how many we had to bid. So when we did get the prices back for all six, you can see that the bids came back considerably higher. We were planning on somewhere around $120,000 to $130,000 total for the project, and we got pretty large sums back. This seemed closest to what we've seen from other bids in Lower Platte South and Lower Elkhorn. Although the test hole drilling is pretty low, and the contractors acknowledge that. He signed his notice of award and the contract here prior to today. So he's ready. He's on board, ready to go. And Sargent Irrigation Company is actually the company that already did the test hole jacks, basically did the work for the state. They were hired by the state and did all the wells across the state. So I feel pretty comfortable working with them as far as they've done this before and know what they're doing. Go to the next breakdown then, if you'll go to the next page. So looking at what we have available, we were basically able to cut unit costs. The main way to do that was and get the most out of what we had was to just remove the Hubbard, the monitoring well with Hubbard. We still do the test hole and look at all the geology that's available there. We just wouldn't put in the wells, and those were going to be the deepest wells we had. So that cut quite a bit of the cost down to an estimate around $137,000. So what we're recommending tonight is we approve the bids as they were, and then recommend the contractor before he gets to move forward on work would agree to a change order in the amount to reduce these unit costs, or not the cost, but the unit, total units. Any questions?
Well, let's get a motion on the floor and we'll discuss it. Someone wish to make a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Anyone in the public wish to speak to this? Seeing none. Directors, questions for Paul or statements? I have a question. Would you clarify, are we approving the change order as part of this tonight?
It's part of the motion.
It's part of the motion then. All right, so we're approving the contract with a deduct change order to bring the contract into a bit of essentially available funds.
Yeah, our approval of the agreement is subject to approved signing change order and signing change order.
Would you go back to the bid tab for that showed the three bidders, please? Can you zoom it for a little bit? So now I want to see all the way across. I'm looking at the wide disparity of bids. And somebody bids 10 cents on the dollar compared to his competitor for test hole drilling. They bid $3.35, the next guy bids $8. They bid $4.46, and it's $9. Another one is $8. It looks like these bids are something strange. There's not that much difference in cost between contractors. Why the wide variation in numbers?
I think part of the look at it was so mobilization is built in. There's no separate mobilization cost. It's built into each one of the quantities. That this was a contractor that had called us and contacted us from Iowa, from Cedar Rapids. So he might have had quite a higher mobilization cost. These two would be slightly more comparable. Sargent would be closer actually to the four main wells located in the northeast part of our district, so that's why he's probably more cost competitive there. And then I do think in talking to him on his bid for the test holes specifically, that he was not allowing quite enough time probably for each of those, given that the geologist will be pulling up every 5-foot sample and going through it. He has a little leeway in the fact that he has this standby time for logging. That's basically the time that geologists take where they're not actually drilling or pulling up the sample. So he'll see some of that back, but for the most part, he acknowledged that he made an error on that part, but he was still willing to do it for that price.
Hey, is there any opportunity for unbalancing the quantities on this? So he's loaded up one part of his bid where he might see an opportunity for increased quantities on an item?
No, we'll be controlling all the quantities because we'll, after the test holes are back, we'll, with the geologist from the Conservation Survey, we'll determine what the depths of the monitoring well are going to be. So that's basically, this charge is based on that per foot cost, total per well cost. So there's not a lot of changes that he can make.
Thank you. Anybody else have questions? Director Jeff.
I assume this is the Sargent irrigation out of Neely that will be performing the work?
Yeah, that's the main contact. Yeah.
Have they worked for us before?
Hmm. We haven't had too many building contracts on the road, but like I said, they did just do the recent one, but I don't know if they've worked for the district in the past. If they did,
work for the state. Thank you.
Okay. Unless there's any other comments, let's move to roll call on the motion, please.
Fred
Connolly.
Fred
Connolly. Aye.
Ballard.
Yes.
Beezer.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Does that complete our agenda?
Yes, sir.
We are adjourned.
Call the FEL committee to order. The Open Meeting Act is posted outside, and as well as the back of the room. As normal, I will impose a 3-minute speaking limit for the general public with that form called.
Josh Connolly.
Here.
Frost.
Here.
Ballard.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Chairperson.
Yes. Adoption and gentlemen.
So move.
For a second.
Second.
Roll call.
Frost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
John Connolly?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes. I have before me proof of publication of this meeting. I have number 6, review and recommendation of the adoption of the FY 2016 budget and set property tax levy at 0.038034 for fiscal year 2016 budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The district has received final valuations from the county clerks. The final numbers are as follows on the graph on the board, if you so choose to look up there. We averaged 4.95% increase over all six counties. Total valuation was $57,779,011,332. The tax levy would be set at 0.038034. This is an increase of 0.005281, or 16% over last year. Total tax requirement is $21,975,704. It's an overall increase of $3.9 million. Total tax the total tax requirement last year of $18 million. When the final valuations were, Douglas County was the last one. That was after our last board meeting in August. That generated an additional $150,500 in revenue. What we did is we put $30,000 of that additional revenue was allocated to the water quality programs that Paul just discussed to cover those increased costs on those bid there. And then the remainder was allocated to the watershed fund, and that specifically was going to go toward Zirinsky Basin, the engineering and legal fees to acquire right-of-way for that project. And I think we all heard the public at the last public input meeting on the budget that was a project that we needed to raise up the priority list. The following is there's a chart that shows the difference in the levy at a house valued at $100,000 and $200,000. $100,000, it would be $38.03 a year, or $3.17 a month. A house valued at $200,000 would be $76 a year, or $6.33 a month. The total operating budget, again, is $71.8 million. We have broken the budget category budget summary into major categories, and that is on the fact sheet. It's about the third sheet in, and it's into flood control, erosion control, water quality, recreation, forestry and wildlife, and the watershed fund itself. There's also some pie charts that shows a breakout of the fiscal year 16 budget expenditures. And you can see flood control makes up a majority of that at 61%. And then also the budgeted revenues. As you can see, property taxes are only 30% of the total budget, and bonds make up 24%. And then, again, in other funding, we bring in roughly 27%. The budget summary sheet is the next, which outlines revenues and expenses, and those have to balance per the state statute. Any changes in the budget from the August public input meeting are highlighted in yellow. Again, the only major change was the $30,000 to the water quality program that Paul discussed earlier and was voted on, and then the addition to the watershed fund for the design, engineering, and legal for Zirinsky Basin 2. We also allocated the funds that were in the watershed funds to specific projects, 6, 7, and ZB2 for actual right-of-way acquisition. Instead of leaving that just a lump sum in there with no direction, we thought it would be better to allocate those to those specific projects, since those have the next three on the priority list. So you can see that. So it's a little clearer of where those funds will be spent. The recommendation as far as the which needs to be adopted by the subcommittee to forward to the board is part of the original memo on the front. Again, the total operating budget is $71,804,171, uninsured liability sinking fund of $50,000, and then the property tax levy be set at 0.038034 per hundred. And a certified copy of the budget must be sent to the state by September 20th and to the county clerks by September 20th, per state statute. Another reminder is this budget is far more detailed than ever gets sent to Lincoln. I think that one's about 7 or 8 pages, where this one obviously is 40-some. Level of detail here is far more than they would care about or that they see. Their big issue, obviously, is that you do not expend more than what's in your total budget, not per category. Obviously, when we bring stuff to the board, that 110% is per our policy, not for any state requirement or any statutory requirement. So I'd be glad to take any questions on the specific budget, but those are the only changes from the public input in August, and obviously until you get your final valuations, your revenue could increase or decrease accordingly. Anybody has any questions? I'm glad to answer. More staff. We have everybody here, I think.
I move with the management recommendation.
Second.
Who's second?
I do.
Anybody from the general public wish to make comment?
I probably need to clarify some words in here, and you'll probably need to get back with me on Thursday. But under State Statute 13-506 regarding budget, the question is, what are we the levying board, or who's the levying board? Because this is the statement in here. The amount to be received from personal property tax and real property taxation shall be certified to the levying board after the proposed budget has been adopted. If the levying board represents more than one county, a member or representative of the governing board shall, upon written request from any county, appear or present its budget at a hearing of the requested county. I'm just curious, what's that mean?
David, you have to research that, I guess. But yeah. We are the levying board.
I'm not familiar with that statute offhand, but I can.
All right. You can have it if you want it. I just carry what is a levying board and what.
Well,
we're a levy.
We levy the taxes, but.
And what's the governing board?
We're probably, yeah. They're one and the same, probably.
Yeah. Any further comments from the directors? Any member on the call?
Yes. Thompson?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Ross?
No.
Chairperson?
Yes. That concludes our committee meeting.